we're going to read through about verse number 8, and let's look at some things of what the Lord has for us this morning. The Bible says this in verse number 35 of Matthew chapter number 9, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And I'm going to skip the names there, but let's pick up in verse number 5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for this day. We ask you, God, this morning, Lord, to, God, give us unction, Lord, to preach. Lord, I pray that my speaking and my preaching would not be in passing words of man's wisdom, but, God, in the demonstration, Lord, of spirit, Lord, and of power. And, Lord, if there's ever been a problem, Lord, in our churches today, Lord, and in our Christian lives, Lord, it's the lack of the power of God. And, Lord, we're trying to carry out ministries. Lord, we're trying to win a lost and a dying world, Lord, without your power, Lord, prevalent in our lives. And, Lord, we pray this morning that you would open the Scriptures to our heart and you'd help us to see the importance of the power of God in our lives. Lord, we love you, and, Lord, we need you today. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Notice in verse number 35 here, notice this morning. First thing I want you to see as we look at this, let's look at what Jesus, the Bible has to say about Jesus. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. Now, may I say to you this morning, point number one I want you to see this morning is that the preaching of the gospel. Notice here today that the Bible makes a difference, and the Bible separates teaching and preaching. All right? Teaching is good. The man of God ought to be apt to teach. Am I off?
Sorry, Brother Edwin, now you go. You're going to have to do jumping jacks, brother. The difference is this, all right? Teaching is for knowledge. Preaching is for knowledge. But preaching demands a response. Preaching demands a response. Preaching puts people at a position that they must deal with the word that is being preached. Now, we'll see, and if you want to go back and you want to look, you can go to Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says this, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea." John the Baptist came preaching, and what was his message? His message was a message of repentance. John the Baptist didn't come give a dissertation. He didn't sit on his stool and say, well, let's have a great discussion, and there's great discussion, and there's a time for discussion. But friend, I want you to understand, in our lives and in the church, the life of a church, it is very important and it is vital for Christians to have preaching in their life. All right, I'm going to say that again. It's vital to have preaching in your life. No, Matthew 11:7, the Bible says this, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" And then the Bible says that Jesus went forth teaching and preaching, and the fact that Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? It is biblically important that we have preaching, all right? God calls preachers, all right? The highest calling that man can ever have. higher than the president of the United States, higher than the kingdoms of this world, is that God would choose a man to carry the gospel and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater than what a greater privilege there is would be none. What a great privilege that I have to be able to be called a preacher of the gospel. We must have preaching. I'll say this, it's preaching that's changed the world. Notice this, what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So do you see that this morning, that God has chosen to use preaching? Now, there's different styles of preaching. There's some wind-sucking preaching. I mean, then they hack, and it's, and they say another word, and they, And beloved, that's fine. And then there's preachers like Brother Jimmy Clark, and he never raises his voice, and he stands behind the sacred desk, and he'll give you the Word of God and smile at you and cut you up one side and down the other. Beloved, there's different styles of preaching, but the fact of the matter is that God, in His sovereignty, He chose to use preaching. I'm to save this lost and dying world according to that Bible. And we must have preaching today. We must have preaching. The Apostle Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. He said, Paul said, I didn't come with you with great swelling words. I didn't come to try to impress you with my languages. I didn't come to try to impress you with my education and my knowledge. He said, I didn't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men, but I wanted your faith to stand in the faith of God and the Word of God. He said, that's why. He said, that my speaking and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. And may I say this today, God help us as preachers. God help us, God help me as a preacher. Yes, that I would speak that the most eloquent words that I could speak, but that at the same time that my speaking and my preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power. God said this in Titus chapter 1, verse number 3. But God hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. You realize that God manifests His Word, that it becomes alive to you and I through preaching? That's what He's saying. God manifested His Word through preaching. And may I say to you today, it is vitally important for the life of a church to have preaching. We must have preaching. Thank God for good singing. Thank God for good teaching. But God chose to use the foolishness of preaching. He could have chosen to use anything else. But God chose to use the foolishness of preaching. Now, not only the preaching here, I want you to see this. I want you to notice the pity. Verse 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. The word pity means the feeling or suffering of one person excited by the distresses of another. Sympathy with the grief or misery of another. Did you hear that? I'm going to read that again. The feeling or suffering of one person excited by the distress of another. Sympathy with grief or misery of another. When's the last time in your life, in my life, that we've had pity upon anybody? That we've had compassion upon someone. Someone who was dealing with a hard situation. Someone who was less fortunate than we are. You ever notice how in our lives today, and especially in our churches, how that we don't have time for anybody else? That we're not moved with compassion anymore. Because you see, when we're moved with compassion and we have pity upon our fellow man, Brother Wesley, we behave different. We act different. We respond different. We do things that are needed. We get our minds off of ourselves and on to somebody else. But God help us in our church today, and God help us in our world today, that we don't have any pity anymore. We don't have pity. We don't have compassion. When's the last time that we wept over somebody else? When's the last time that we was burdened to the point that we was so moved with compassion that, Brother Wesley, that it caused us to change our direction and it caused us to change what we were doing and we invested our lives into somebody else? He had pity. He was moved with compassion. Notice this in verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenty. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Point number three, there's a plenteous harvest out there. Anybody, you know how many people's in the White County? 27,000. 27,000 people lives in this county. 30,000 lives in our neighboring county of Lumpkin County. I didn't look at Habersham County. I'd say today that, beloved, Zion Hill Baptist Church, the fields are wide unto harvest. 27,000 people living in our county. I was talking to a man the other day. We were talking, and he's not even from this county. And I was telling him that I pastored here, and he says, you know, he said, brother, I'm praying for you. He said, as I've watched the news, he said, I've come to realize that White County is one of the most liberal counties in North Georgia. And I said, you're exactly right. I said, I thought I was the only one that felt that way. And you look, what do we have walking up and down the halls of our school that they condone? Go up a little further up there in the valley and what do we have? We did make a promise as a county to Truett McConnell College that if they would build in our county that we would keep it dry. And we've become one of the most liberal counties in Northeast Georgia. That's what we're known for. What a shame. 27,000 people. I'm going to say that again. 27,000 people. And Brother Wesley, I would dare to say that even on a morning when there was no snow on the ground, there were no power outage, I would venture to say that less than 5,000 people attended a church of some form or another on a Sunday morning. Count them up. Count up the churches around. The churches that you know. And I dare say there's not be 5,000 of the whole county in church on Sunday morning. We have a job to do. The harvest is plenteous. But notice this, the prayer request that the Lord made, the only prayer request the Lord Jesus Christ ever made, what did He say? He said, pray ye therefore that the Lord would send forth laborers. You want to know why we don't have any laborers? Because we don't have any pity. We don't think about that neighbor that's living beside us that's dying and going to hell. We don't think about that co-worker that's living beside us that's dying going to hell. And may I say thank God to Brother Leo and Brother Ray and the efforts that they put forth. But it ought to shame all of us. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, and I'm gonna give honor where honor's due, okay? Somebody asked me the other day, and this is no disrespect to Brother Ray. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, that brother up there at your church has been inviting people for so many years. I said, Brother Leo. They said, yeah. You know, that's what he's known for. That's what he's known for. God help the rest of us. He said, pray ye therefore that the Lord would send forth laborers in the harvest. He says, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. 27,000 people. 27,000 neighbors we have in this county. And man, what an obligation and duty and a privilege we have. But Jesus says, I need somebody to go. Not only the prayer request that He made, but let's look at this in verse number 10. And we'll get into our message this morning. Look at what He says in verse number 1. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. If Dr. Williams was up here, he could give you he could speak this word in the Greek and give you the exact pronunciation, okay? I'm going to make a stab at it, All right? I'm thankful for the King James Bible, all right? And I'm King James, and I'm thankful for God give those men wisdom, discernment, and guided them, inspired them, however you want to use it, okay, to translate this Bible into English that I could have a perfect Word of God. But understand this morning, this word power that He's given them in Matthew chapter number 10 is not the same word power that He's using in Luke chapter 24. This word power here is exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. You can ask Doc if that's to pronounce it for you after service, okay? It means privilege or capacity. And that's what I'm saying. This is apostolic power. He has given them different power at this time for a different service. What did He say? He said that you can have power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. May I say to you this morning, if there's a man that's alive today on this earth that can go around and that can heal the sick, that can raise the dead, then beloved, he ought to be in the hospitals this morning cleaning them out room by room. But here he's giving them the power to do this. And it's a power that's distributed. Notice this, he says he gave them power. He gave them power. Turn over to Luke chapter number 10. We're going to come back to this, but coming over to Luke chapter number 10. There was the power distributed, but here's the power recognized. Luke chapter number 10, page 1088, verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There was a power there that they recognized. What do you mean? It means they came back to the Lord and they said, Lord, guess what? Even them devils that you told us that you give us power to cast out, and them devils that you told us that we could send them unclean spirits out, guess what? It really works. That's what they came back saying. They were rejoicing in the fact that what Christ had said was really happening. They recognized it. But then Jesus said, rejoice not that the spirits be subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names is written in heaven. And that's why we sing that song, My Name is in the Book of Life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife to read my title clear. I know. I truly know my name is written there. I hope this morning that you know that your name is written there. But understand the day there was a power recognized that those disciples had, and they came back and they was rejoicing in the great power of God that was upon their life. May I say to you today, as we look at this, there ought to be a rejoicing in our life that we have the power of God upon our lives. But now let's look this morning, let's continue looking. There was a power recognized. But let's go to Matthew. Go back to Matthew chapter number 17. We was in Matthew 10. And I'm going to go back to Matthew 10 too in just a moment. But let's go to Matthew chapter number 17. There was a power that was lost. There was a power that was lost. And may I say, as I said at the beginning of this message, you can do things without power, but it sure makes it hard. But there's some things you can't do without power, even though you try. Now let's look here this morning. We understand this morning, I hope through the scriptures that I have given you, that power was distributed to the disciples. The disciples had recognized this power. But let's look in verse number 14 of chapter number 17. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Did you see that? Now, Matthew 10, he gave him the power to deal with this. Luke 10, they came back rejoicing and said, Lord, it's true. But what's wrong here in Matthew? They said, Lord, we can't. This man came to Jesus. They'd just been on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus and John and Peter and James. And they came off the mountain there, and this man had came to the Lord, and he said, Lord, he said, would you heal my son? He says, often he's cast himself into the fire, and often he casts himself into the water. And Lord, he's a sore lunatic. Lord, he's crazy. And Lord, I took him down to the church. Are you listening? I took him down to the church. And there wasn't nothing there. I took him down there to where the believers were. Because Lord, I knew if I could just get him into the house of God, if I could just get him around the people of God, Lord, I knowed that he could be healed. Don't you see that in that passage of Scripture? And he said, Lord, they couldn't do it. And they said, Lord, we can't do it. Because you will read on in just a minute, and they're going to ask, they said, Lord, why could we not? You see, the power was lost. He'd give them the power. The power was recognized. The power was appreciated. But when there came a point in their life that the power was gone, and they tried to do the exact same thing that they had been doing, but it made no avail. And there was no change in that young man's life. And he walked out of the church the same way he came in. And he walked away from the things of God the same way he came in. Because there was no power in the people of God. Because power was lost. Brother Wesley, they done the same thing. The same thing they had been doing. Listen to me. Don't shut me off. This is one of the most important messages that I'll ever preach at this church. Lord, we done just like we done when we was making a difference. Lord, something's happened. There's no change. Lord, what's wrong? Lord, why can't we? I got a question for you, church. Has God changed? Has God's will changed? Is God's power changed? And what's the problem? There's a power line down somewhere. Something has caused the transmission lines to be broken. The power plant's up and working. But it's not getting to those that need it. I don't know how many times, listen, I don't know how many times I walked through the house last night and flipped the light switch on. That's why at 2:30 in the morning when the power come on, Mr. Fanny, every light in the house was on. I mean, and I got up and I went to turning them off. The bedroom light. And I love my wife, and we have this little humidifier thing in our bedroom that kind of hums and it puts out humidity. It's called a rain mate. I crawled back in the bed. I'd gone and walked through the living room. They turned every light off in the kitchen, everywhere. I was crawling back in the bed. My good alert wife says, the power's on, I hear the rain, mate. I said, honey, did you not see every light in the house on? I said, I know, it's on. You can go back to sleep. There's 2 points to this I want to make. Every time I'd walk through the house, I'd flip a light switch on. I know they didn't have the power. Are you listening to me? But when the transmission lines was fixed, whether the breaker was thrown, whether the transformer was out, whether the tree was cut off the line, whatever the problem was, Mr. Ray, when I had the power, I knew it. And may I say to you, church, you'll know when you got it, and you'll know when you ain't. And you can go through the motions all day long. You can plug the blender up and it won't work. You can turn the stove on. You can flip the light switch. Whatever you want to do. But you know when you got it, and you know when you ain't. And may I say to you, it wasn't Habersham EMC's fault. Are you listening to me? I got on Facebook and was looking at some Facebook posts, and because we didn't have nothing, no TV, no nothing, and my phone don't even work half the time. Verizon, are you listening? Get it fixed, because ever since Hurricane Harvey came through and done whatever it did, okay, I've not had phone service, and I'd appreciate you fixing it. But I got on there, and people was cussing Habersham EMC. Cussing. And I'm like, it ain't their fault. They ain't the one that caused the storm. They ain't the one that sent the snow. If you don't get mad at somebody, get mad at God. Yeah, they 16,000 people out of power, but how many people's got power? It ain't EMC's fault. And Brother Wesley, is that not the way we do? Things don't go our way. Things are not going good down at the house of God. Things are not making a difference. We're not growing in the Lord, and we're not seeing things change in our lives. And we go to blaming everybody else. And then we go to blaming God. You see, they realized that power was lost. Now, let's go back a minute and let me give you some verses. Go back to Matthew chapter number 17. Or Luke, just go to Luke. Luke chapter 24. Go to here, and then I'm going to finish up, okay? Luke chapter number 24. Look in verse number 49, page 1113 in your Scofield Bible. And behold, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, understand this. This is a different power. I'm going to make a statement here, and I believe it with all my heart. It's a greater power, and it's a greater privilege. See, over here in Matthew 10, it was just apostolic power, and it was just a privilege or a capacity to do these things. Here in Luke 24, this word power comes from the word dunamis, which means dynamite. It's a greater power. And may I say to you today, the apostles had some great power, but child of God, the church of God today has got a greater power and a power of the Holy Ghost of God than the power that the disciples had in that day. Why? Because that same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, that brought the Son of God back to life, is the same power that lives inside of me and you today. It's a greater power. It's a greater power. We have it. So I want you to say, I brought us back to this because I want you to see that was apostolic power. And Brother Wesley, we were preaching that as applicable to our lives. But we have been given a greater power than the apostles have been given. But let's go back to Matthew 17. And let's look at this set. Let's look at the limiter, the power limiter. Look in verse number 19, page 1023 of your Scofield Bible. And I'll be closing here in just a moment. Then came the disciples to Jesus, verse number 19, apart, and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief." He didn't say, "It wasn't my will." Are you listening to me? Well, it's just not God's will. It was God's will. It's not God's will that any man should perish, but that all men should come unto repentance. Well, it wasn't God's, it just wasn't the power of God that wasn't enough. Or they were just too hard. You ever heard that? They were too hard. This man was a lunatic. He done lost his mind. Throwed himself in the fire and trying to kill himself. Well, I don't know if God can change them. You ever heard that? You ever said that? They're a lunatic. Ain't no hope for them. They done been witnessed to. They done been in church. They done said they saved 19 times. May have been because they been somewhere that the power of God wasn't. They said, "Lord, why couldn't we make a change in this man's life? Lord, why couldn't we make a difference in our society? Why can't we make a difference in our town? Lord, what's our problem?" He said, "Because you don't believe. Because of your unbelief. You don't believe that I can do it. You want to do it without me." Case in point is this. You got the kerosene lamps out last night. They were my grandmother's, and we still use them when the power goes out. And one of them had a new wick. It was just folded over in the top. I'd bought a new wick because it'd burn up. And I'm impatient, okay? So instead of soaking the wick, I just stuck it down in there right quick, you know, and left it in there for just a moment and pulled it right back in. Rolled it up through there. I lit that thing. It was burning, Gio. Turned around and looked, and it was barely down again. I mean, it was just barely burning. I turned it up. Looked over there again. It was just barely burning. And I noticed my wick was getting shorter. You know what the problem was? I was burning the wick, not the oil. And it was burning out. It was burning up. It was getting tired. And it wasn't putting off much light. So you know what I did? I put it out. I stuck her back down in the bottom of the thing. And just left it. Went and got another lamp. Had the saturated wick, turned it up, lit it, and finally got tired of the kerosene smell and I turned it off. But the fact of the matter is, it was saturated in the oil. And it wasn't the power of the wick that was given off. Listen to me, it wasn't the power of the wick and it wasn't the power of the lamp. It was the power of the oil that was in it. Church, we have the power, but something is limiting it in our lives. What is it? It's been given to us. What do they say about the disciples over there? They said, "These men have turned the world upside down. Boy, wouldn't you like to be a part of a church? I mean, that the testimony of Zion Hill Baptist Church in Cleveland, Georgia, was that, man, they turned Cleveland upside down. I'm not talking about in our confrontational. I'm talking about seeing people saved. And I'm talking about when those lives get changed, that they turn it upside down. But you know what? Our power's out. And somebody's got to fix it. Oh, we can continue to live. We did. Y'all survived, didn't you? Not Miss Pat. Wasn't no Plavon. You survived 6 days this summer, but you don't want to do it again, do you? Anybody else out this weekend? Y'all were out. Wasn't no fun, was it? But you made it.
Seen lights all around us.
Yeah. Yep. You can make it. May I say this, church? We'll make it. But will we enjoy it? Or will we just endure it? Miss Evelyn's coming to the piano. I don't know how to give an invitation this morning. There's a power that's given. We've recognized it before in our lives. It's been prevalent. We've rejoiced about it. But is there a line down in your life? Are you the line in the church that's down? How about it this morning? What has God spoke to your heart about? We're standing all over the house. She's playing softly. This altar's open. The power of God's as real as the power that's coming through those lights right now. Know those that's never had power, they ain't missed it. They don't know what it's like. But if you've ever tasted it, if you've ever had it, you know what it is.